Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
This is the FCB Podcast Network.
Attention all units. Attention all units. We have an all-points bulletin out on a man with green hair. I repeat, we have an APB on a man with green hair. He's armed with a knife. I repeat, he's armed with a knife.
Okay, hey y'all, welcome back to another episode of Marble Halls and Silver Screens. My name is Sarah Lee. I hope you guys are doing well out there. It's been a little bit since we've chatted. I want to say off the top that you might hear some weird ambient noise in the background. That's just the heater over my head. Got very cold in Georgia overnight. It's been like in the 60s, and then today it was like freezing cold, really windy. So the heat's on. So you may hear that in the background. I hope it's not too distracting. Today, I actually have a dance rehearsal here in about 35 minutes or so. Well, sorry, an hour. I have to leave in about 35 minutes. So I want to knock this podcast out. There's a ton out there that I could talk to you about. So I think I decided that, I definitely wanted to talk about what's going on with the Biden administration. And I could have talked about the spy balloon and the hearings in the House, looking at the weaponization of the federal government and, you know, the potential scandal involving China and the Penn Biden Center, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, the debt. But I decided I wanted to talk about all of those things. So I hunted around a little bit and I found a pretty good article from the Heritage Foundation. Basically, it's written by a guy named Jarrett Stepman. If you're a DC person, you recognize his name. But he has a really good article that I will link in the column that goes with this podcast, where he kind of boils down the failures of the Biden administration into six topics. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that to open the show. Then I'm going to talk with you guys just a bit, offer my sort of thoughts on, as I always do, a new show, a new movie, something like that that I've been watching. I started watching Poker Face, so I want to talk to you a little bit about that. That's actually on Peacock, so I'll talk to you a bit about that. And then finally, I want to end the show with a really interesting podcast that's getting ready to go live at Barry Weiss's new outlet, Free Press, I think is what that's called. And it is a podcast that features... Sorry, Barry Weiss's outfit's called The Free Press. That features none other than the fabulously talented and genius J.K. Rowling and the scandal that has been engulfing her for the last many, many years. So yeah, those are the topics for today's show. As usual, we will break to hear from sponsors, and then when we come back, we will jump into all those things. Hopefully, I can keep this one tight for you today. It's a Friday. We have a three-day weekend coming up. Like I said, I have a dance rehearsal here shortly, so I'm going to knock it out for you guys, and I hope you enjoy it. Sit tight. We'll be right back.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? a woo-hoo-er, a hand clapper, a high-fiver. I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay. That's my Matthew McConaughey sort of version. That's my version of Matthew McConaughey's all right. I'm teasing. That just kind of fell out of my mouth, so I thought I'd make a joke about it. So let's jump into it, shall we? Thanks for sticking around. Let's go ahead and talk about, like I said, I wanted to talk about something a little comprehensive since I've gone to a podcast that's kind of sort of looking like it's becoming a monthly thing now as opposed to every couple of weeks. So I'm going to have to, I think, start talking about some of these things with a broader lens, a more sort of holistic look at certain things. Because if I'm going to cover the things that are happening, I'm going to have to start doing that. So I was very, very happy to, and I knew I wanted to talk about the Biden administration generally, especially as the House opens up their hearings. You know, the big tech hearing, the opener on that was really interesting. I think we're going to see some crazy things come out about censorship in that hearing, more than we have already seen. We're probably going to get into discussion of 230 regulation, going to get into the discussion of TikTok and how much the Chinese are surveilling us through tech. So that's going to be an interesting one. The one I'm mostly interested in, there is going to be a select subcommittee on China. That one I think I am going to be paying very close attention to as well. That one's also going to be dealing with FARA, Foreign Agents Registration Act. But the one that I think right now that people really should be paying attention to is the weaponization of the federal government. That is looking at, and Stepman in his piece at Heritage does deal with it, but that is looking at sort of the politicized administrative state, the bureaucracy. And, you know, more than just politicized, more than just a partisan bureaucracy, it is the top of the administration, the president and his people actually engaging those partisans within the bureaucracy to act on the party or the candidate or the administration's behalf. So that's going to be a very, very interesting hearing. Already, Chuck Grassley has testified about his FBI whistleblowers. That's sure to get very interesting. That has to do with, you know, their work on some of the Hunter Biden laptop and whether or not it was part of some Russia collusion scheme. There's also some discussion of, you know, people leaving the bureau. Some of these whistleblowers talked to Grassley about people leaving the bureau because there was a scandal of a sexual harassment scandal. So Grassley's looking into some of these agencies on the Senate side. So he testified to the House. So that, I think, is going to be a fairly explosive hearing. To the extent that the media covers it, though, because we do still have a similar issue in our sort of legacy media, where if it's not favorable, I'm starting to think it's not even about Biden. It's just about their own personal political biases. And, you know, they're a little bit shallow on the left side of the aisle. They'll toss a Biden. They'll get rid of that if he runs afoul of them. There's already really bad polling for him. They won't protect him anymore. But what they will protect is the sort of structure that protects them and their jobs. And that also tends to be highly partisan. So yes, the press isn't always going to cover some of this stuff. So the American people are going to have to start looking this stuff up for themselves. The great news is C-SPAN will be making this stuff, most of it, most of the juicy stuff anyway, most of the juicy hearings, live. You'll probably be able to watch it on Twitter. Facebook, go directly to the C-SPAN page. You can find those hearings. So oftentimes they're even at the pages of the committees themselves online. So I would encourage the American people to watch that and watch some of those hearings from the weaponization committee. And here's why. As Jarrett Stepman writes, he's a columnist for the Daily Signal at the Heritage Foundation. That's out of the Heritage Foundation. Does really good reporting, really good work. Definitely has a conservative point of view, but they're not angling their stories with false information. They're using facts, and they're basically covering the things that the mainstream press won't cover. But they do really solid journalism work. So Jarrett's a columnist there, and he's got a really great piece. Came out January 24th, so, you know, almost a month ago now. But it's called Six Failures of Biden's Presidency in Year Two. He breaks these out. The six are, and I'll just tell you what those are. The immigration chaos, which, you know, they threw that border wide. They used the nonprofits to shuttle people into the country illegally. And it has gotten out of hand, and I think it's gotten out of their own control, and they don't quite know what to do about it. So immigration chaos is one, ballooning debt is two. I know there's actually a fight coming up here in a couple of weeks over the debt. Basically, Jarrett says the debt has increased by about $4 trillion since Biden arrived in office. And they're just piling on, you know, there's student loan forgiveness programs, et cetera, et cetera. So ballooning debt, inflation, we're all living that, even though they keep telling us, no, 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 things are getting better. Some of the long-term predictions are, you know, I have a brother that works in sort of high-rise construction. He's a manager for a company that engages in that kind of building and development. And the entire industry is slowing down. That's what I'm told anyway, because people are not really investing in some of those things because they're waiting for the economy to sort itself out. So that's happening. And these inflation markers, you know, they're there. Even though maybe gas has gone up a little bit, et cetera, well, we have a, you know, Biden has a lever on the strategic reserve, so he can fluctuate those markers anytime he wants. But some of the real markers are harder to see, and it's things like people not investing because the economy scares them. So that's number three. The woke administrative state, that's the one that's dealing with some of this partisan bureaucracy. Jarrett goes into the DEI stuff, the diversity, equity, inclusion stuff. We're kind of DEI-ing ourselves into serious problems, ESG-ing ourselves into serious problems too. That's environmental, social, and governance. And that's something that's coming out of the business world where they're going to be trying to regulate businesses based on how they meet these criteria under that umbrella. It's the same with DEI, and that's happening in academia. And it's all about, it's not about, it's so clear now. And as we move forward, it'll become even more clear. This isn't about caring about the environment or people or the culture or the country. It's about control. It's about you do what I tell you to do, because I've got you under the I've got you by the DEI balls, so to speak. So that's what that is. Woke administrative state. That's number four. Number five is the specter of scandal. So that's all the China, Hunter Biden, corruption within the Biden family, even the sort of progressive Democrats are having to kind of acknowledge this stuff now. I mean, Hunter's laptop was real, and the stuff that's on it is highly disturbing. So, you know, and then there's the classified materials at Delaware and at Biden's Delaware home at the Penn Biden Center. There are these very mysterious and very big gifts from China to the University of Delaware and the University of Pennsylvania, where Penn Biden Center was established. There's also a really good article in today's Washington Examiner by friend of mine, Gabe Kaminsky, well, he's a work friend, where he's talking about some of the largest elite American universities have invested huge amounts of cash with a very questionable private equity firm linked to the Chinese government's genocide of Uyghur Muslims. So there's a lot going on out there, and that's the fifth, the Spectre of Scandal, and the sixth is no return to normalcy. So basically what that means is if people thought that the progressive Democrats were going to get us back on even footing where we're all happy and feeling nice and speaking across the aisle and, you know, back to norms, that's not happened, nor will it happen, because a lot of that really nasty rhetoric was not coming from the right. It's going to become harder and harder to ignore that. So that's Jarrett's piece. Like I said, I'll link this. I think it's a really good overview of some of the problems that the Democrats have. And I want to say this before moving on from it. What this is telling me, just a big picture, is that this progressivism that has been building really since the 60s and prior to that, just coming in waves, it disappears, it comes back. But this version of it is a failure. It doesn't work. It's just like communism, right? And it's in some ways, this kind of progressivism is way too close to communism in some of its methods and in some of its preferred outcomes. So, you know, what's becoming very clear is that it doesn't work, and it doesn't not work because it doesn't not work because of resistance from the right. It doesn't work because it doesn't work. It's failed. It's governance by bullying. It's governance by, you know, helicopter parenting. It's not governance by allowing citizens to make their own decisions, allowing citizens to speak freely. And those are enshrined in our sort of the DNA of our country. And so the progressivism that we're seeing right now, which the Democrats have fully adopted. They went way hard to the left. And I think it's because Biden is so corrupt that everybody owns him. He can't do or say anything that he wants to do or say. He's pretty much owned by all the parties around him, including some foreign nations, as we know. So, and not always friendly foreign nations. So, That's kind of where we're at, right? Like, this is a failed experiment in progressivism. The progressives like to say, you know, we're late stage republic. I hate that kind of loser talk. When I see it on the right, it actually infuriates me because it's the language of users. It's losers. It's the rhetoric. And I don't mean losers like you're a loser. I mean people who don't win, people who don't want to win, people who don't want to finish the game, people who just want to quit and give up and go home. We're not late stage republic if we don't want to be, right? Progressivism is a failure. The country and the ideals behind it are not. Now, they're linked. These are two inextricably linked things because our freedoms actually probably are partly how we got this kind of progressivism. But remember, it looks a lot like socialism and communism for a reason. Okay, you started seeing this form of progressivism when Marx wrote his Ugly Little Manifesto, and there's a reason for that. So I don't know that I'm even willing to say that this kind of progressivism is a result of our freedoms. I think it's a twisting of those freedoms, not a result of. So I'm going to leave that there, and we are going to talk about a kind of a cool little show called Poker Face. So not to be confused with the Lady Gaga song, which I actually kind of like. Poker Face is a sort of, it's on Peacock. It stars Natasha Lyonne. If you don't know who Natasha Lyonne is, you probably do, and you just don't know that you do. You know, she's in like American Pie. She's been a bunch of stuff. I think she was recently in the Russian Doll on Netflix that a lot of people liked. Very interesting actress, really interesting to watch. Like, she's got this really husky voice, and she's very attractive. rough around the edges, kind of has that's how she acts as well. Like, her style of acting is rough around the edges. She's not what I would call a polished actress. She just kind of, she's almost like, what were those method actors where, like, you know, Stanley Kowalski and, you know, James Dean. So Brando and Dean, like, their whole thing was bringing, you know, like, reality, real stuff to the acting. It was the method acting. She's kind of like that, right? She's not trying to pull at your heartstrings as much as she's just trying to portray this character, who may or may not be a lot like Natasha Lyonne in real life. I do feel like this part was kind of made for her. So the show itself is, it's pretty good. The way that I characterized it to my boyfriend was, it is a cross between the old Incredible Hulk show, where David Banner travels around the country because he's being chased, and along the way he has to, like, get in scrapes, into or out of scrapes, or solve problems or whatever. She's doing the same thing because of how this show is set up. She runs afoul of some mobsters, basically, in Vegas. And it's also, so it's a mixture of The Incredible Hulk, and there's a lot of Murder, She Wrote in there too, because it's a funny murder mystery every week. It's a new vignette every week with this thread of her being chased by these mobsters, and she's running across the country going who knows where, picking up odd jobs. But every week, she's basically a young, hip Jessica Fletcher solving a crime. And the sort of plot device in this is that she has a preternatural ability to tell when someone is lying. She makes the distinction in the show that she can't tell you what the truth is. She just knows if someone is lying. And that helps her figure out these sort of murder mysteries that she gets herself involved in. It's got an interesting setup, the way each episode is set up. You see the murder first, and you don't even know where she is in the story until after you see the murder happen. And then the story plays out several days prior to that, how she comes to the town, how she gets involved with these characters. So you pretty much know from the beginning who did it. And she then, the interesting thing is how she sorts it out, right? It's a really kind of interesting show. It's sort of filmed in the Boogie Nights style, right? Everything's kind of dingy and grubby. That may just be because that's what her lifestyle is. She's traveling around in this beat up old car, going to these small towns, picking up odd jobs, you know, nothing very glamorous. So it's sort of that, you know, everything's kind of orange, I guess, for lack of a better expression. Like, the aura is orange, kind of like the 70s orange. So anyway, Natasha Lyonne's character's Charlie Kale. I really am enjoying it. Like, I thought at first there was, like, one episode where they got a little political, and I was like, ugh, because it was like MAGA dog, right? And I was like, I can't with another show like this. But then the next week, they went in the other direction and skewered the hard left. And I was like, oh, I think maybe I can deal with this, right? Like, equal application of derision, I'm in, right? So I'm kind of enjoying it. I like the premise. I like the story so far. Really interesting cast of, just like Murder, She Wrote and those other shows. Actually, Psych was really good about this. The guest stars are awesome. So, like, Fred Armisen, Benjamin Bratt is on it, John Ratzenberger of Cheers fame. Let's see, who else? Chloe Sevigny, Ellen Barkin, Tim Meadows, Jamila Jamil, Tim Blake Nelson, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Nick Nolte, and on and on and on. Cherry Jones, great actress. Yeah, Judith Light, who's really good in her episode. So this has been kind of a fun show, and I would recommend it. I wouldn't say let your little kids watch it or anything. Lots of adult themes, some drug use, etc. But it's pretty good. It's definitely one of those shows that I can see women being like, oh my God, did you see the latest episode? Not to mention Benjamin Bratt is still just very nice to look at. So yeah, I like this show. I'm going to keep watching it. I don't know if other people will feel the same way about it that I do, but I found myself like enjoying it and wanting to see another episode. Like it comes out on Thursdays and I like make a point to watch it, which to me, I'll see shows and I'll be like, yeah, that was pretty good, but then I'll just never go back to it again. And that's pretty much my, you know, that's how I know that like I could care less, basically. But if I make a point to watch it and I'm like, that's actually good, I kind of want to see what happens this week, then I'm in, right? So, I mean, that's not a mystery. That's just how that works. So I find that I do that every week on Thursday. So it's like, oh, goody, you know, another Poker Face episode tonight. So hopefully it keeps going in this direction. It keeps getting better. You know, I've recently just rewatched all of the Psych episodes and it kind of started a little slower and got really, really, really good and really fun and never took itself too seriously. I feel like this show is doing the same thing. It's not trying to take itself too seriously. Charlie is sort of always just mystified by how weird everybody is around her. So, yeah, I like it. So I'll leave that there. Finally, I want to talk very briefly about, this is my time is almost up, this incredible, I'm sure it's going to be so good. It's an incredible idea. And I have a feeling it's going to be excellent. And I'm a big fan of J.K. Rowling. I have thought for a long time, you know, when all the, I'm very Catholic, and when all the initial, like, oh my gosh, she's writing about witches was happening back in, you know, when Harry Potter was first coming out in the 90s, I thought that was ridiculous, and I immediately read all the books. And they're great, right? They are as good as people think, as people say. Like, they are very good. The lessons are great. She's a good writer. You know, she's woven this entire universe of people. She's very, very, very good at what she does. So lately, these past couple of years, when the trans scandal started coming out, because she has the temerity to say that, no, women are women, and women deserve their own spaces just like men deserve their own spaces, right? And this has turned people into, you know, complete and utter dragons about how she's a monster and she's a, right? It's made me just fascinated more and more that she's, not only that she has weathered these things, but that she doesn't back down. And in today's age of everybody being freaking terrified just to say what they think, she has no problem with it. And people come at her like on Twitter and she just, she doesn't, I wouldn't say she claps back because I don't think she's actually a jerk, but she doesn't back down and she speaks her piece and she's clever and funny. And so she has a new podcast coming out called The Witch Trials of J.K. Rowling. And the initial piece that is announcing it was written by a woman named Megan Phelps Roper, who is an apostate from the Westboro Baptist Church. She was raised in that. She sort of sorted out as an adult the toxicity there. And had to leave her entire family. And that happened as a result of her sort of talking to people on Twitter. So now she's this evangelist for discussion and dialogue and how that's the only way kind of to move forward and move through things. So she is apparently interviewing Rowling in this podcast. And like I said, her name is Megan Phelps Roper. The piece on the Free Press that she wrote is called The Witch Trials of J.K. Rowling, and it's very good. The piece itself, just announcing the podcast, is excellent. So I'm going to be looking for this. I'm going to be listening to it when it comes out. I think it comes out sometime next week, sometime early, in the early 20s of February, like February 24th or something like that. So, yeah, this should be really, really interesting, not least because, you know, not only did I love the Harry Potter books and have been amazed that J.K. Rowling just stands her ground, I'm a huge and ridiculous fan of the C.B. Strike novels, and the new episodes are out on Hulu or HBO. The books are amazing, so I haven't read them all yet, but they're, you know, it's her writing, and she's basically channeling, you know, Agatha Christie in these books. So, yeah, I'm a big fan of Rowling, and I'm mostly a fan of hers, even though I know politically we differ, very much differ. But I'm a fan of hers because she has strength and she is not a coward. And I think that in today's world, that is just so rare as to be incredibly moving when you see it, and you can't help but be drawn to it. So I'm looking forward to this podcast. I'll keep you guys posted on how it goes. At that, I'm going to say goodbye to you guys. Have a really great weekend. I hope it's a 3-day weekend for you as well. Federal holiday Monday. So as always, take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. Be cool. Be safe. Be kind. Be strong. And we will talk again in a couple weeks.
Psychiatric ward, his face is up on the bulletin board with a report. He'll stab you with a sword. Don't be fooled by his charm. He's probably armed.
This has been a presentation of the FCB Podcast Network, where real talk lives. Visit us online at fcbpodcasts.com.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.